Back on the talk show on News Radio 1490 KBUR, 36 past the hour. And again, thanks to President and CEO of Great River Health Systems, Mark Richardson, joining us the first part of the talk show. Electronic records start tomorrow.
Yep. And it's no April Fool.
It is not. We are joined now from Washington by our senior senator from Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley. Good morning, Senator.
It seems like ages since I've been with you, but I'll bet it's only been 4 weeks. Can you remind me?
Yeah. Well, I think the last time you were here, I was not. So it seems like for me and you personally, it's been almost 2 months, Senator.
Well, and I hope you've either enjoyed yourself or if you were sick, I hope you're well.
Hey, you guys, just get a room, will you?
Well, today, of course, the opening day of baseball. So the most important thing isn't Ukraine or the Malaysian flight or what have you. I'm sure you know it is opening day of Major League Baseball. So question, a lot of Cardinals fans, a lot of Cubs fans, or your constituents, who you got? And keep in mind, Senator, there is a right or wrong answer.
Well, I'm a Cardinal fan.
There we go. Yeah.
And but let me tell you, I do not follow the Cardinals as much as I did when I was your age and Stan Musial was still playing.
Right.
And you probably don't even know who Stan Musial is.
Oh, everybody knows who Stan Musial is.
Stan the man. I've got pictures next to his the statue there in St. Louis. And I actually think I saw him in a Cardinal game when he was right before he, of course, passed away, last year or two years ago or something. So, well, let's get to the news at hand. Of course, everybody's talking about it. You unknowingly made news last week with Democratic Senate candidate Bruce Braley claimed that you were, quote, unfit to chair the Judiciary Committee because that you were just an Iowa farmer. Your reaction when you heard that?
Well, I issued a statement, and I think the statement was well received. And quite frankly, I could read that statement to you again, but I don't think I want to say anything more than what my staff released last week. And the reason why is because you know, I could spend all my time on things of the past, and I've got to work on this week. We possibly could have a bill up with what we call the extenders, which involves all the biofuels tax incentives and the wind tax incentives and 50 other things. And also we got what you call the doc fix. If we don't get the doc fix fixed, then our doctors are going to lose a lot of money on reimbursement from Medicare. And these are annual things that we have to do, and those are just some of the things I'm involved in. And I'd rather spend my time on that than worrying about what somebody's saying about me.
Sure, and we'll get to some of those here in just a little bit. But I also wanted to know, I don't remember yesterday morning which Sunday roundtable discussion show, Face the Nation Meets Press, what it was I was watching, but something was said that struck my ear, that even though the election coming up isn't for about over 7 months, the Senate is pretty much shut down between now and then. So my question is, what are we paying you senators for again?
Well, I would only say it's shut down from this standpoint, that Senator Reid sets the agenda for the United States Senate, sets the dates we're going to meet, and people in the minority, you know, I could stand up and say that you ought to vote against opposing the motion to adjourn. But there's one thing that people of political parties stick together on, and this is about the only thing you can guarantee that they're going to stick together on, and that's when the Senate's going to be in session. So the majority is always going to outvote Republicans 55 to 45 that they're going to adjourn if the leader wants to adjourn. So it isn't just lately. He made a decision maybe 3 years ago, I don't think more than 3 years ago, after the House was taken over by the Republicans and the majority or the Democrats weren't running everything in both parties or both houses, he decided that we weren't going to meet as often or have as many roll call votes as we used to have. And he also decided that there weren't going to be very many Republican amendments. So let me give you an example. Last 6 months of last year, there were only four Republican amendments that he would let us vote on. So he's running the Senate in a way that he thinks benefits the Democratic Party because there's so many more of his parties up for re-election this year. And if we're doing less than we normally do, and we probably are, it'd be because he wants his people out of Washington campaigning and raising money. And that's best demonstrated in a quantifiable way by the fewer roll call votes that we have now compared to previous years, the number of what we call cloture motions, which the majority files when they want to stop debate. And he's filed many more cloture motions, and usually before debate doesn't even begin. So you can't have a filibuster if you don't have debate, but he's filing cloture motions anyway. And by the number of times he's filled the amendment tree so that Republicans couldn't offer amendments. And then the number of days we haven't met on Fridays compared to a lot, most times we would at least have a morning session of the Senate on Fridays. And these are all quantifiable ways that the majority decides how the Senate's going to operate, and that's Reid's decision. So, I'm a person that hasn't missed a vote since July of 1993. I've cast 6,800-plus votes without missing a vote. I have a record that that says when we're in session, I'm going to be in session to vote. Reid's going to decide when we're in session. So I have to be here when Reid decides we're going to be here. But when we aren't here, like on weekends and recesses, I go home and have meetings with my constituents. So all I can say is I can only control what Chuck Grassley does. What Chuck Grassley does is a lot controlled by what Senator Reid says the Senate's going to do. But I've just expressed how he has run the Senate and how I have to react to that.
Well, that could all change. That being said, the path to your party controlling the Senate, according to a lot of experts, is looking very, very good with the 7 months to go. So what would change should Republicans take control of the Senate like they do currently the House?
I can't give you an exact date when McConnell gave this speech, but it would be somewheres in the congressional record within the last 2 months. And it went something like this. That the Senate isn't functioning as a deliberative body the way it's supposed to because of cloture motions, filling the tree, not meeting as long as we generally meet. And McConnell says that all of this is going to change when Republicans gain control of the United States Senate. That's the gist of what he said. Now, that means that I assume that means that there's going to be less cloture motions filed, so you actually have debates on a bill, at least for a few days before you stop debate, which takes a 60-vote margin, and that McConnell, as majority leader, is not going to fill up the amendment tree so Democrats can't offer amendments. The situation in the Senate is that, each senator should have an opportunity to offer amendments if he wants to. And that the committee process, McConnell also said, we're going to let the committee process work. Unlike with Reid running the Senate, he's preempted the committee work by putting bills directly on the Senate calendar. So that's what McConnell says. Now, you know, the Democrats are after McConnell. He may not be elected senator from Kentucky. I believe he's going to be. I believe he's in a very strong position. But, you know, he's got both a primary and a tough general election coming up. But if he's reelected, that's what we're going to do. And my guess is if he's not majority leader Republicans take over the Senate, we're still going to do what McConnell said.
Senator Chuck Grassley here on the talk show. And, of course, you mentioned doc fix. There's a bunch of different things that I know that you're working on, including a Common Core we'll get to as well. When you have so many things that you want to get to, and as long as you've been in the Senate, is it frustrating to you when all of these different kind of the rudimentary type of provisions that Senator Reid or others that are in control right now that stop you and other senators from getting things done that the American people would like to see? Are you frustrated right now with your colleagues in the Senate?
I'm so frustrated, particularly with Senator Reid, the way he runs the Senate, that if you go back to my website within the last month or two, you'll find two or three half-hour speeches I've given referring to the Federalist Papers and James Madison, who wrote our Constitution and then wrote the Federalist Papers, why the colonies should approve the Constitution. He, in Federalist Paper 62, spelled out exactly the function of the Senate, and my point in giving that speech and referring to Madison and quoting from the Federalist Papers was to say that Reed isn't doing it the way it was intended to be. It is intended to be a deliberative body, and it's not deliberating. So I give those speeches. It makes Reed mad. And then the last speech he gave on the subject in answer to me is, I was acting like Alice in Wonderland.
Is that what he said? I missed that one.
Well, if you want my staff to run it down for you, we can get you the citations and you can read it.
That's great. Well, a lot seems to be happening throughout the world since we last spoke. First of all, I want to get your take on what's happening in the eastern part of Europe, and of course, Crimea is now part of Russia. Thousands of Russian troops right now are along the Ukrainian border. So what, if anything, should we as a nation be doing given the current climate in that part of the world?
Okay. I would applaud the president for what he's done on economic sanctions, only I would say that he ought to do more. And then the other part of my answer to your question is I voted for a bill on Ukraine that would give $1 billion loan guarantee, not $1 billion, but the loan guarantee of $1 billion that Ukraine could borrow someplace else. And then it would provide for further sanctions, and it would also express the Senate's view on the violation of international law that Russia has done by going into Crimea, and also a violation of the spirit of the Budapest Amendment that said the United States, Russia, and England would guarantee the territorial integrity of Ukraine. I voted for that. It passed with only 2 dissenting votes, I believe, in the Senate. Tomorrow it'll pass the House of Representatives and go to the president, and I believe the president will sign it.
Should the president travel to Kiev to speak to the Ukrainian people?
I would want to know if it would accomplish something and not make the situation worse, and I don't have an analysis of that at this point. I believe with 50,000 Russian troops on the border of Ukraine, I wouldn't want to give Putin an excuse to go in there. We don't have the ability to counteract that right now. Although if he would go into one of the NATO nations, and that's 27 countries of Europe, if he go into any one of those under our treaty obligations under NATO, the United States and those 27 countries would have to respond.
Well, it seems that I hear a lot of people who are non-supporters of the president talk about his lack of strength when it comes to this. And your comments on it, is the president showing the type of leadership that he could or should?
Well, I think he's trying to catch up on that by doing everything he's doing now, going to Europe last week, meeting with our friends, making strong statements against Putin, talking to Putin on the phone, Putin called him this time, trying to work something out. But I think I'm complimentary for what he's doing right now, but what he's doing right now wouldn't be necessary if he hadn't changed our nation's position as a leader in the world from several things he's done from day one coming to office. His wanting to lead from behind, his wanting to work in a multilateral way, his wanting to work through the UN. In those 2 cases, if he hadn't said, I want to lead from behind, there's nothing wrong with working through the UN and through multilateral with other nations. But when you say you want to lead from behind, you send a signal to both our friends and our enemies. To our friends, you can't be counted on, and to our enemies, that you can be easily challenged. And that's exactly where Putin was coming from when he went into Crimea. He said the president wants to lead from behind. We're not a threat to him. And so he decided to go ahead and do it. And you can't be a friend to both your friends and your enemies. You've got to be a friend to your friends and be considered an enemy to your enemies if you're going to be respected. And consequently, he tries to be friends to everybody, and he's weakened our position, and we aren't really trusted by anybody.
Senator Grassley, Mark Morris in Studio B. By the way, congratulations on not being an attorney.
Well, thank you. I'm glad of that. I'm glad you're willing to talk to a future chairman of the Judiciary Committee and not a farmer. But there's one thing about this. Remember, in your lifetime, you may only need a lawyer three times, but every day you need a farmer three times.
You got it. Closer to home, and speaking of farming, if something has happened, I've missed it. The locks and dams. The ice is mostly melted, and the business is picking up again. So yeah. Where are we?
I'll tell you my view, but I can't give you I can't give you what's going to be the outcome because I'm not on the committees. Both the House passed. By the way, this is an example that not everything's done in a partisan way. Last June, we passed the bill you're talking about on voice vote, so no visible opposition, I guess is the way to say it. The House passed it. I don't know whether they passed it on a roll call vote or not. It's in conference between the House and Senate now, and I don't know what the outcome will be. My position is, and my vote for the bill is, that we have over 7 or 8 decades, billions of dollars invested in infrastructure on the Mississippi River, locks and dams, so it can be used for navigation. And they've got to be maintained. And it may even take additional revenue to maintain them. You can't let them, you just wouldn't let that sort of investment go down the river, and it will if we don't do something about it. So we need this bill passed to preserve the infrastructure that we have in place and to modernize it, make it more efficient.
You mentioned that it's in committee. Do committee assignments, and do they still get together or in conference, between the House and the Senate when there doesn't seem to be much activity in an election year?
Not as much as they used to. Only two examples I can think of right now is this bill that we've just talked about for the infrastructure of the Mississippi River, and then the farm bill went to conference between the House and Senate. But there's less of it because there's less bills passing, and particularly when instead of passing 11 appropriation bills like you normally should do you maybe would have a conference committee on each of those to iron out the difference between the House and Senate. When you have one continuing resolution to fund government instead of 11 separate bills, you obviously have a lot less conferences.
We just had the president and CEO of Great River Health Systems, the hospital here in the Burlington area, Mark Richardson, on before you came on, and he wasn't exactly optimistic about the implementation and the legislation that is the Affordable Care Act. You just mentioned that DocFix, so you could tell us about what that has to do with the Affordable Care Act and why you support it or you don't.
Yeah. Well, nothing, because it would be an issue if you didn't have the Affordable Care Act. In the mid-1990s, we set up a formula for reimbursing doctors under Medicare. And that formula turned out not to be a very good formula. I don't know whether people knew that at the time. I can't even tell you if I knew it at the time. I think we thought we were doing the right thing. In fact, the doctors thought so because the doctors backed it at that particular time. But it turned out 3 or 4 years later, that doctors was taking cuts. Well, in this day and age of rising health care costs, you can't expect doctors to take cuts. And we fix it from year to year, but it's gotten so bad this year that there would be a 30% cut if we didn't get it fixed. In other words, make sure we call it a patch. Patch it so they don't get a cut. Maybe they don't get an increase, but they don't get a cut. Well, we decided that doing that year after year was stupid, so we finally got an agreement on throwing that formula out and putting a new formula in. But we don't have any disagreement over the new formula. There's just disagreement over how to pay for it or if it needs to be paid for, and that's where we are. And we're up against today the doctors, technically tomorrow. The doctors would start getting this cut, but we always step in before that happens. Are we going to do a one-year patch like we have for the last several years, or is it going to be this 10-year fix, throw it out and start over again? I hope it's the latter.
We are just simply out of time, but I know, Senator, by the way, you're going to be back in Iowa this weekend, and then where, Nevada this Saturday, competing in what they call the Freedom Run.
You're going to laugh at me. I know that I run four times a week, 3 miles each day. But this is the first time I've ever asked a political party, this time the Republican, well, it'd only be the Republicans, to raise money by leading a 3 mile run. And it's going to happen in Story County. And I can't believe very many people are going to participate. They raise very much money. I hope they do. I'm going to enjoy the run, but that's what we're going to do.
Well, I hear there's a pancake breakfast as well. So if people won't run, maybe they'll eat.
Well, if they're going to eat, they better run.
That's right.
Yeah.
Senator Grassley, as always, it's good to talk to you. And best of luck in the future this spring and summer, and we hope to see you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
All right, Senator Chuck Grassley.